I firmly believe that we deserve, period.
I just feel like it's important to keep saying that aloud, that this is us learning in public.
The foundation of how to not have trash politics is really just relationships, right?
So if you're not aware of how powerful you are, then how can you be using your power to bring others up?
We're giving you collective liberation. We're giving you personal healing. We're giving you millennial auntie with a mic.
You're listening to Scene, the podcast.
So I am always, you know me, I'm like sort of a go-getter, but also I am exquisitely good at doing absolutely fucking nothing. And there's something about January being donezo. Thank God it took forever. It was the longest year of this decade. And so,
which is saying a lot,
right? Like it was a lot. Capricorn season. Bye, bitch. Love you. Because I have some placements in Capricorn. I'm not saying this is a like a blasphemous attack on Capricorns. But that season, January, Capricorn season, always makes me feel like I have to get my shit together. Like it makes me feel like ain't no rest for the wicked, if that was the phrase that came to mind. And that's been my experience for most of, you know, every single new year, every single cap season, it always feels like that. But this season felt a little bit different. I, for the first time, did not feel fussed or pressed or really even oriented around resolutions. I was sort of like, we gonna do this year like we did last year, but hopefully a little bit better. Like that was just my energy. And part of me felt shitty about that, but looking back at it, proud of it. And I'm curious, and I have been curious about why that felt so good to not have these, like, basically not to succumb to that peer pressure of doing New Year's resolutions and feeling like January has to be like, you know, if you don't start it off right, then your year's going to be shit. And I want to like unpack this idea or that pressure that I think that I was able to like skirt around together in the context of this podcast. And that being said, I want to share with you, which is no surprise to Lala, because I tell her before we're going to do the podcast episode, but share what the question is. And it's really meaty. How do you define success? I am very curious about, you know, your experience defining success, how it's changed over time for you. Who you see as successful, like even that, I think we have one person in common at least for sure. But like, you know, Beyonce.
I was like, is it Beyonce?
It better be, girl. What the fuck?
If like, she's not successful, then success does not exist.
Okay, but let's start off with that then. I'm really curious. Like, I know I see you as a successful person. And I want to start off from this place of like, I think I'm getting a lot closer to what success is for me. I feel like a successful person. I think you're a successful person. Do you want to fight me? Do you agree with that? Yes or no?
Oh,
taken off guard.
I would like to say yes, but if I'm being honest, no.
You don't see yourself as successful?
If I'm being honest, no. I think I maybe see myself more like how you see yourself, which is like maybe getting there, but not there. Mm. But I would like to say yes.
You would like to, it's aspirational. Like that is,
yeah, I mean, and well, no, but also like there's a part of me that I feel like I should say yes and be able to say yes, and maybe I'm not like healed enough.
What does that mean?
That's in order to like, if I'm still putting things on myself that make me feel like I'm not fully successful or like I can't claim success and I must be like still kind of in these oppressive ideologies and frameworks and, you know, haven't like come far enough in my learning, but maybe even just letting you in on that little thought process there
Yeah.
gives you like a sense of maybe why like deep down in my like gut, I my answer would be no, I don't fully see myself as successful yet.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. And my next question is like, what does success mean to you today?
So
what would it mean for you to be a successful person?
So I think what I'm working on believing and creating for myself is that success is about, or would be for me about, I don't know exactly what the word is. So let me take it back for a second.
Please.
I've been doing a lot of work on my health, and a lot of what I am learning based on like classes I'm taking through the pain clinic, based on like research I'm doing on my own and all of this, is that it actually is possible to heal chronic pain and a lot of the symptoms that I have. And one of the most foundational tools in doing that is to manage your stress, because it's chronic stress that creates a lot of these symptoms.
Right.
And so I'm working on taking my physiology from a place of stress and like easily stressed to a place of like calm and, you know, safety and like resilience. And so I'm not sure exactly like what this word is that I'm looking for that's like kind of the opposite of stress, because I don't think it's realistic or desirable to be calm or happy like 24/7.
Exactly.
But I think it is possible to, at least for people with some level of privilege, and I do have, I think, at this time in my life, enough privilege that I could, you know, get to a place where I'm not feeling stressed all the time, where I can just feel like kind of more, a little bit more secure and a little bit more able to rest in the knowledge that like ultimately things are okay, and things might be hard and things might be painful, but like ultimately I'm okay.
Yeah.
And so I think as I'm learning that this it would be such a key to maintaining health for myself, I feel like that would be success. And I feel like it doesn't allow me anymore to think of success as being, you know, achieving a ton in your career, like, you know, things like that, that if I were to buy into that, mm-hmm. I will never get out of this trap of chronic stress, because there will always be like more things to achieve, or I'll always like need more, you know, time and more energy and more, you know, that I don't necessarily have in order to create, you know, what like capitalism would tell me success is.
That's so fascinating. So I really appreciate your answer, because it sounds like for you, at least the path that you're trying to be on is defining success for yourself, as opposed to thinking of success as this thing that is shared for everybody. And like you said, if you were to adhere to or kind of like buy into this idea of what success means in like quote unquote traditional under, you know, capitalism, it actually would make you worse off and like,
yes,
would actually harm you more.
So much.
Which is something that I, as a person that's not chronically ill, am also thinking a lot about, is like, how do I define success, and how has that changed over time for me? Like, I'm recognizing the value of what you just described as having almost like some peace of mind.
Peace. That's a great.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like that you have enough. And this is me also recognizing the privilege of having peace of mind, and the value of that peace of mind means for me that I'm able to focus my energy and my attention where I want to. Like, there's choice involved. And I think that my definition of success is about that agency, that peace, and that realization that I am faring okay. I am okay, at least for the time being. And before, when I was younger, and I'm curious if you had different ideas of success, especially before your health has shifted in the way that it has, so that you're oriented now to like managing pain and thinking about like limiting stress because it inflames or like increases the amount of pain you have. When you were younger or in the past, had you defined success in a way that was a lot more entangled or enmeshed in what we learn about through capitalism, about like, you know, making a certain amount of money and or something else?
Absolutely. Yeah. It definitely was much more entangled in the ideas of like, yeah, wealth and fame and achievement, you know, like I needed to achieve something on the level that I would be really known for it. And along with that would come a lot of money. And if I wasn't doing that, then that would mean that I was a failure. And I felt that pressure so intensely for so long until like very recently, like probably the last like maybe a little more than 5 years now, but like not a lot more. It was so much pressure, and it just made everything feel impossible, because it wasn't just I need to find something that I can feel sort of good enough about and sort of make enough money. It had to be like this just magical, like huge, over the top thing.
Right.
And my God, like, of course it was, it felt
overwhelming,
immobilizing. Yeah,
totally. And man, I would say if I was being honest, because you just shared like when you started to begin that journey of unlearning what success was, or just redefining success and divesting out of this idea of success meaning being known and being basically famous, right? Mm-hmm. I would say spending time, and we talked about this on our episode on transformative justice, spending time learning so much about the ways that when we are seeking transformation in our relationships and our community, the binary of complete utter mess, failure to perfect is so unhelpful. Because a lot of the times we'll never get to perfection, and we'll never get to, or perfection in and of itself is a standard that like is very unattainable and difficult for any of us to achieve, because we're all coming into it with such different experiences and needs. And so really taking a closer look and examining the ways that I have in the past particularly felt like success was a zero-sum game, in the same way that you describe it's either like all of it or none of it, and there's no room for the in-between. I would say that that lesson of there's no room for the in-between, either you fail or you've succeeded, really comes from, or has, at least in part, I can't chalk it up to all, you know, my sort of upbringing, but the way that I was raised, particularly with my dad, he always wanted us to do good in school, or do well in school rather. However, it was like, if you got a 92, it was like, well, where's the 8% that you missed? And I think that that kind of parenting style that is really about pushing your child or pushing your offspring to be like the best that they can be without seeing the effort that's being made has such a negative impact on so many of our ideas around success, and we see success as only something that's on that binary. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think so many of us are living out these kind of intergenerational trauma stories, because you know, we come from families where maybe there wasn't enough, or where there wasn't security, or, you know, racism is threatening your ability to have anything for yourself or whatever it is. And it leads to those kinds of mentalities of where's the other 8%, and like having to always like push harder and be better. And then I also think sometimes it isn't even about trauma, but we just have been in these hierarchical societies for so long that it's always about just being better than other people, and not having a sense of worthiness unless it's like in relation to somebody else that you're, you know, measurably better than in some way.
Absolutely. And, you know, you and I have talked so much about the impact of social media, uses of social media. I think that my feelings about social media continue to, I believe, move further and further away from that notion that social media is good. I think it is like the cesspool oftentimes of comparison and the ways that we really do set ourselves up for failure because we are comparing our lives to people's literal highlight reels. And you truly never know what people are going through when we are spending so much time believing that what is available to us and what we see on social media about somebody's life is their life in its entirety, mm-hmm. right? And that we don't see those areas where they're not, you know, having the best day, or they're not like looking their best, or they're not doing their best in their career, or they're not doing their best in their family, but we see like all of the beautiful things. And I do believe that it's important to celebrate and share and showcase those beautiful things. But I think a lot of the times we lose sight of the reality. And I find myself needing more often than not to really check myself and ask myself, like, is spending this much time on social media, for example, a value add, or is it detracting or taking away from my ability to see what is good in my own life, because I'm so busy comparing it to what I see in somebody else's. And that's not even the full scope of what they're actually going through, you know?
Yeah. So this reminds me of something that I actually saw on social media, I think yesterday, where somebody on my social media was saying that she finds it really triggering as somebody who struggles a lot with her mental health to see, and trigger warning here, to see that somebody more successful than her has died by suicide. Mm-hmm. And that this was referring to Chesley Christ, who was Miss America in, I think, 2019, mm-hmm. I think she won. And she just sadly died by suicide, and an apparent suicide. I'm not sure if that's confirmed, but it really made me think at that moment, you know, okay, well, how are we seeing success?
Yeah.
You know, to look at somebody where that happens and to think, oh, but you were so successful, as in, you know, she was Miss America. She probably had some level of financial stability and some level of, fame and, you know, certain amount of opportunities. But I mean, what does that really do for anybody at the end of the day? You know, there's a lot of people who are very, you know, mentally unwell and unhappy, who have all of the money and, you know, fame and material success in the world. And so it just, I think seeing that really made me think about, like, what are we thinking success even is? Because I would so much rather have less fame and less money and, you know, fewer achievements, but have some level of peace and feel loved and feel supported.
Absolutely. And I mean, for me, the question is like, who gets to define success for me? Mm-hmm. Like who am I giving power to define success for me, who has no idea about my soul, what my soul needs, you know, my experiences, the things that I want to experience into the future. Like, there is that real disconnect between these representations, you know, in media and beyond about what success looks like, that just for me is like pretty incongruent. And yeah, like it makes so much sense that in the example that you just gave of somebody that you know that feels like really activated, because it, we are told in so many different ways that if we don't achieve what somebody like Chesley achieved, right, if we're not the most beautiful person, and I believe she was also like a lawyer, and like people are speaking just so beautifully and highly of her, that if we don't achieve those things, or we don't achieve something to that stage or that level, then we ain't shit, that we're not doing anything. And it makes me recall the feelings that I had when I felt like I have failed at something, or when like the thing that I really wanted didn't pan out in the way that I intended it to. And I didn't get the opportunity and I didn't get the thing. And I felt like in that moment, like, where is my life going? Everything about who I am and my worth became attributed to failing or not achieving something, right? And I look back at those experiences where that failure that I had felt so like trajectory specific in my life. And actually it was, but in a way that created more good after the fact. And so I think, yeah, I just, the reality of it is, you know, not just for social media, but the ways that we oftentimes internalize all the time, really internalize standards of perfection and standards of beauty and things that we're supposed to achieve and accomplish. And yet, even when we do those things, it doesn't necessarily indicate or result in us feeling like deeply fulfilled in our lives. And so, you know, the ways that I define success for myself, and I'm wondering if any of these resonate with you, Lala, is just having, like, I define success by my ability to know myself more and more, to like increase my awareness of myself. That to me is success, because I've spent so many years feeling like I didn't actually know myself, or didn't, or feeling disconnected from myself, feeling shame about myself. And so the more I get to know who I actually am, and the more I'm at peace with who I actually am, the more successful I feel at just like existing in this body and like being alive, you know, being here. And another really important marker of success, or how I would define success, is the depth of my relationships, like the quality of the relationships that I have with other people. Not like having many relationships, but my ability to be myself and show up as myself in the best way that I can in the relationships that I do have. And yeah, those two things really stand out for me. And I'm wondering if any of those resonate for you in terms of your, you know, definition of success, or adding on to that piece you said earlier around having ease, or being able to no longer experience life on that like high level of stress.
Yeah, well, I mean, those things that you mentioned definitely resonate strongly with me, and feel very like there's a deep fulfillment that I feel that is associated with both of those things. But as you were talking and just thinking of this, you know, this last piece, it just makes me wonder if success is useful as a concept at all. Like, I wonder if success, the word success and our concept of it, is so deeply embedded within capitalism and colonialism and all of these really oppressive systems that just keep us in these, like, always like hustling for our worth, always like, I have to have this or that or whatever in order to be okay. I guess I wonder if, like, instead of changing our definition of success, if we just need to stop putting our energy into the idea of success at all. Because again, yeah, those things that you said, like, they do feel resonant, but do I need to think of that as successful? Because maybe I would rather think of that as just feeling fulfilled. And maybe like success feels too static. So then if it's like, I feel successful because I'm growing and I have deep relationships, but then I go through a period where one or more people that I'm so close with dies and I'm really like struggling to hold on and just feeling kind of barely keeping my head above water with everything I'm trying to like, just trying to make it. And I can't do those things anymore. Then I no longer successful. And how will that, you know, add to my suffering?
That's a really good point. I really love that you use the word fulfilled, because I think that that at the center of it is you. Like at the center of the idea of being fulfilled is a person, and that person is you. No one can tell you that you are fulfilled. That is like so, you know what I mean? Like you have to feel fulfilled and be fulfilled, and you get to define fulfillment. That, you know, it's so different. And I appreciate that idea of like, maybe these words, maybe the word success is not the helpful, maybe it's a bad orientation for us. Maybe it's been so co-opted by capitalism and, like you said, hustling for worth and unworthiness, that it doesn't really do us any favors anymore of trying to like shoehorn these definitions related to fulfillment, related to ease, related to enjoyment of life or appreciation of life or whatever. And yeah, like I find it also really, the word success, you're right, has this like static nature to it, and it doesn't really account for the, you know, people talk about like celebrate the small wins, like the small little, and even that, it's like kind of a binary. Like, what is a win to us? Like, what do we see as like a win? Is a win when you feel good? Because I would say that some of the things that I look back at and think, wow, that was gold. Like, that really defined me, weren't always the moments or the, you know, things that I felt great about. It was like the lesson that I learned after the fact about what feeling not good taught me about what I need or how I want to move through the world. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, even the word win, it's like there's, it was like a sports orientation where you're like, woo, like everything is great. Like we are successful. We won the thing. And it's like, I don't know. I'm with you. I'm really with you on this. Like the connotation to those words or the associations to those words, like win or success, are so like just enmeshed in binary and enmeshed in capitalism and enmeshed in competition, as opposed to incremental like transformation, incremental change, and doing what you can and trying and effort. Like those things get lost, I think.
Yeah. And I guess I'm just trying to think, like, what did success mean before these, you know, before status existed? Or, I mean, I don't know if there was a time before status existed, really, or certainly before like capitalism. I mean, at a certain point, like success, like biological success, is just surviving long enough to reproduce.
Yeah.
But then there's, you know, many of us who actually don't want to reproduce. So it's like, that's, you know, not even necessarily relevant. And so then you could say success is just staying alive, but also dying isn't failing. I know a lot of people have critiqued the sort of saying of when you say people lost their battle with cancer, and it's like, nobody lost a battle. Like, that's not what this is. So yeah, I guess it's just hard for me to, when I really sit down and think about it, find any kind of useful part of the whole idea of success. So I wonder if, all of these very kind of undervalued things, like connection and ease are really like what maybe we want to focus on instead.
Mm-hmm. There's a quality about those things. Like, I don't know if that even makes sense, but ease, there is a sense of presence. And with success, I feel like that sense of presence doesn't exist because you're always chasing it. We're going to say Beyonce's successful. Is she still successful? And I would say she would be if she just stopped making music, stopped selling shit, just stopped. She was able to have success. And she likely has a life of ease, but I don't think that necessarily achieving success grants you ease or grants you, a sense of awareness or grants you, healthy relationships or, any of those things. And so I think that there's just an inherent cat and mouse when it comes to success, because like you said before, it's really about, to me, it sounds like it's about maintaining.
Yeah.
Like, and I appreciate that. Like if we say success is having relationships and then relationships, fall apart, are we unsuccessful? Like, is that what that means? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, which I think the reasons why maybe things like connection and ease feel different than success is because they're not something that you have.
Right.
Like they're not something that you own or have in like a static way. They're not something that you are. They're something that you experience.
Ooh.
And so then I think.
Right.
That feels different because it's like wanting to do in a way that feels like aligned and expansive and whatever else, and not trying to just have something or be something, different than like the exact way that we exist and think that that's going to make us happy. And Beyonce has said, that she spent so much of her life from the time she was a young child working so hard, trying to achieve. And she achieved like these incredible, kind of top of the world kinds of things. And then when she realized like what it actually felt like to hold her baby or to look into her husband's eyes and to realize that like, oh my God, those achievements mean nothing compared to, this connection and this love. That she was really angry at everything that she had. Yeah, that everything she'd been pushed to achieve when she was so young. And I think there is such a huge lesson in that of realizing like there isn't anything we could achieve that will just make it all okay. Even a family, for example, because again, people die, relationships fall apart. But the more we're able, I think, to try to maybe exist in relationship to ourselves and the people and things around us in ways that feel good and aligned and right and whatever else, I think that's what it's all about, is those relationships.
I love that. I'm so grateful that you said that, because it leads us into kind of, as we are closing out this episode, our BIPOC of the week. I started reading this book called Carefree Black Girl, and it's by Ziba Blay. Ziba Blay is a former senior culture writer at HuffPost. Her works appear in Essence, The New York Times, Shadow and Act, and a bunch of other, The Village Voice. And her book, Carefree Black Girl, it dropped late last year. And it is, as I'm still like moving through it, it's a series of essays that she wrote, I think in 2018 and 2019, when she was in like a really big bout of depression. And if anyone follows Ziba on Instagram, she has these beautifully curated, I hope your Sunday is giving like slides, just like images of Black women and femmes in ease. And I love that. And I've appreciated that. So when she dropped her book, I was like, I need to get this book. I highly recommend it. And there's a couple of quotes that I want to pull, not from the book itself, but from her, an interview that she did with Forbes magazine. And she was talking about this. One of the questions was around how she wrote the book or how she wrote these essays and what she was going through and this notion of being carefree. And she says, you know, for the first time in my life, I was trying to understand what freedom looks like, what it means to be carefree and whether it is possible to be carefree in a white supremacist world. That's where a lot of my struggle was coming from, being trapped in a world that didn't seem to value me. I got to a point where I really didn't care what the world thinks because we are here despite it all. That is something worth acknowledging and celebrating. And then she goes on to say, happiness and sadness can exist in the same body, and it's okay to acknowledge that. This book is solidarity and affirmation for any Black woman to know it's okay to be sad and talk about being sad, because not talking about it doesn't allow Black women to rest when you want to or ask for help when you need to. You don't have to keep up the show of being okay. I want my readers to take away from this book that your feelings and existence are valid. I want this book to affirm any Black woman who has ever wondered if they could truly be carefree. And just her words about the coexistence. When you were talking, Lala, about those relationship pieces, I think about coexistence a lot, right? It's like, how can we both have love and boundaries with people? How can happiness and sadness, like Ziba writes or Ziba speaks, like, can they coexist in the same body? And as somebody who has deeply appreciated Ziba's work, especially online, her writing and just her ability to convey such complex experiences that Black women and femmes and girls go through in photographs, in imagery, right? I have seen her as this person that is successful, and yet, right, the challenges that she's had in staying alive, right, and being on this earth and feeling valued and surviving what it means to just see Black death all the time, and particularly like Black women's death, Black trans women's death, just death in general. For her to talk about this coexistence of happiness and sadness, and also for her to be writing about what it means to be a carefree Black girl, you know, what carefree Black girl means to her in the context of freedom, in the context of self-definition, in the context of, I'm not going to let anybody else dictate. I don't really care what other people think because I'm here and that's worth acknowledging and celebrating. So as I talk to you about this idea of self-definition and maybe us like kind of doing away with this idea of success, I am deeply appreciative of Ziba and her work and to really affirm and make normal this idea of just trying our best to show up as we can, when we can, and that is, if we want to use the word success, success. And I'm so grateful that we were able to have this conversation. I mean, I think that we don't talk about success with each other, really.
Yeah.
At all.
I don't think we ever have.
Right.
Yeah, before.
No.
Yeah, but that feels like such a relief to hear that excerpt and like the idea that just showing up and existing exactly as we are is in itself successful, you know, if we are going to have any idea. And I mean, I think one of the things about like reclaiming something instead of doing away with it is that it's hard to do away with something that exists all around us. And so if there is a way to understand success in a way that doesn't feel so like so much pressure, I think that would be it, just recognizing the absolute miracle that it takes for us every day to just show up and exist and be who we are and allow all of the different things that we are to exist at the same time. Like, that's really, really difficult. And so, yes. You know, the extent that we're even able to do that, like 1% is worthy of celebration, I think. So I'm really grateful to you for bringing that idea forth. And I think I need to read that book.
You do. Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you.